Good morning. Hey, that's better. Thanks, David. Good morning. You can hear all the excitement at the back of the church. So I'd like you to please rise. And in your bulletins, Right at the bottom underneath the, in the insert, underneath the call to worship, we're going to be singing Holy Lord, which is that Steve Bell song that Steve has taught us a couple of times. So if you could please stand while we sing Holy Lord, and the children will come down the aisle. You may be seated.
Not you.
You're young. You have lots of energy. You can stand and wave those palm leaves while we sing the next song. Okay? So in your blue hymnal, number 239, we'll be singing the first three. Isn't it wonderful to have the extra music in the church today? Thank you so much to the Blazer Corps for being here today. In your bulletins, please take out your call to worship. Who is this who comes, humble and riding on a donkey?
Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Who is this who comes, free from pride and hubris?
Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Who is this who comes, celebrated by powerless children?
Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, come join in the celebration of hope. And the children, if you could, you know, just grab those first two pews there on the left. Yeah. And while they're getting organized, if you could turn in your hymnals to number 285, please. All Hail the Power.
Morning. This one can't be sung sitting. Please stand. So nice to have a group of brass people behind me and woodwind to join. Number 285 in your blue hymn book. We'll sing all four verses.
Good morning again. Are there any guests in our midst that need or would like to be introduced? We do.
I'd like to introduce the Blazar Corps because Paul usually does this and he's in Toronto. So first we have Jelaika on the bass clarinet, Ruben on the tenor saxophone, our own Ben Zacharias on the French horn, Kevin on the tuba, Nina on the other French horn, myself on the clarinet, and Tim on the trumpet. And we usually play at Springfield Heights, but you guys asked us to come out here, and we're happy to be here. Oh, and Courtney's on the piano.
You got it.
Don't want to forget Courtney. Anyone else that would like to be introduced? Sorry. Right, just a few announcements then in your bulletin that I'd like to bring to your attention. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday, and you're all invited to bring one Pascha and join us for a morning of fellowship prior to the service, starting at 9:30. A couple of thanks under number 4 and number 5, Maria and Andrea Sweeb and Henry and Margarita Fuss. I'd like to thank everyone for their assistance, meals, rides to church, calls, visits, etc., and prayers received while Maria and Andreas were readying their house for sale. It was definitely greatly appreciated. And then a word of thanks from Lainey. Where is she? There she is. Word of thanks from Lainey, but all the heartfelt thanks and cards, gifts, flowers, and visits while she was recovering from her recent surgery for colon cancer. With that, I'll be reading through the other important church family announcements just prior to the prayer. So with that, we're going to do the children's story. So if all the children could come up, and you may bring your palm leaves with you.
Good morning. How are you today? Come over here, honey. There we go. You're making your mom and dad a little nuts. There you go. Have a seat. Have a seat. Good job. Hi, guys. Let me through. Okay. Good morning. Almost every Sunday I say, today's a special Sunday, but I don't have to say it today, do I? Do you usually get to run around church waving leaves? No, so that's special right there. When you're all grown up, I hope you remember this because it's a lot of fun. I remember it. I remember watching Paul and Ben do it. It's fun. But why? Why did we give you permission today to run around waving leaves? Does anyone know? Nobody knows. Okay, then I got to tell a story. Of course, the story involves Jesus. Okay, can we... Jacob Pilgrim. Put your leaf down. Jacob, put your leaf down. There we go. I'll give it back to you later, okay? Because I need it for the story. So what happened was Jesus went back to Jerusalem. And the people that were there thought that Jesus was coming back to change the government. And they all thought that was wonderful because they didn't really like the people that were in charge. So when they saw him coming, does anyone know what he was riding? Nadia, what was he riding? He was riding a donkey. They were so excited they didn't even notice that he was riding a donkey. Do kings usually ride donkeys? No, kings don't usually ride donkeys. People in charge don't ride donkeys. It would be like if somebody came into town and they were driving a broken Volkswagen. Would you think they were pretty special people? You never know. But people were so excited they didn't notice him on a donkey. They just, he's going to change everything. And then they waved. You can wave your palms now. They waved, yay! But Jesus didn't come to change the world the way they thought he was going to. Jesus has always done things differently. Jesus came and he said, I'm going to change things by being peaceful. A new way to change things. And he came to show us how we can change things by being peaceful. So, don't get carried away by waving the palm leaves. Remember to look for things in a different way this week when you're out and about. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Father, we celebrate today just as those people celebrated in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can wave your leaves all the way down to Sunday school.
That one needed some water, I guess. If you could turn in your bulletin to our confession of words and assurance, please. Jesus, our Lord, you came to us humbly, riding on a donkey. In peace, you showed us the way of your kingdom. We confess that our vision of the kingdom is not pure. It is stained with our own selfish desires. Forgive us, O God, when our mouths that seek to praise you often deny and defy you. God, our true hope. Our times are in your hands, O God. Let your face shine upon your servants who pursue your will and save us in your unfailing love.
The choir will be singing, Blessed is He Who Comes, and embedded in this song is a congregational song, Hosanna Loud Hosanna, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 237 in your hymn book, and we'd like to ask you to sing along with us. Unfortunately, the verses aren't in the same order that we have them, so would you please sing the refrain, then verse 3, then verse 1, then verse 4, then verse 5. It says that in your bulletin. Okay.
In the name of the Lord.
please join us in singing a memorial hymn, number 614, In the Bulb There Is a Flower. Please stand to sing verse 1 and 3, number 614. In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season. Something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death our resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
Under number one, you will read the reason why we just sang that memorial hymn. Our condolences go out to the family and friends of the passing of Willie Dick, who is 92 years old. Funeral service will take place here at NKMC on Wednesday the 19th. 11 a.m. with a luncheon immediately following in the lower auditorium. Now, is there anybody that has any sharing at this time?
Hi, Elizabeth Franz Workington. I just wanted to share a little bit on behalf of the Pastoral Search Committee, just to let you know we're still working at it. And please keep us in your prayers as we discern what direction God is leading us in. And if you have any questions, you can please feel free to contact anyone on the committee. Thanks.
Thanks. On our drive into church this morning, we got a call from our youngest sister, and she told us that her husband, who's in his mid-50s, died unexpectedly last night. They think a heart attack or something. So if you can keep our family in your prayers, we'd really appreciate it.
Anyone else?
The nearby Seventh-day Adventist Church had a very apt quote, I think. The one on its marquee, you can read it when you go by. I'm not sure if this is verbatim, but it goes this way: God paid the price, and you can keep the change.
I just wanted to mention that my aunt, Hildegard Knopf, Liana Klepecki's mom, is in the hospital right now. She's been quite ill. She may have to have surgery. They're just trying to consider if she is healthy enough to do so. So please keep her in your prayers.
Just an update on Adina Redekop. She did come home yesterday at 5 o'clock.
All right. And then under number 3, you've already heard about Adina, of course. Number 3, please keep Tracy LeClaire and family and friends who are working with her. They're going down to Philadelphia at the beginning of May for an assessment and possible surgery. You can see that there is a GoFundMe page that has been organized to help defray some or any of the costs that might be associated with that treatment. So please keep all of those and anybody else in your heart as we pray. Please bow for prayer. Jesus, you set your face towards Jerusalem and walked alongside those who suffer. Be our vision, that we too may walk the way of compassion and extend a hand to those we meet. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love answer. Lord, you stop to heal the sick and tend to those broken in body, mind, and spirit. Be our vision, that we too may be a source of healing to all in need of your grace. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love answer. Jesus, you said, the first shall be last, and the last first. Be our vision, that we too may work towards your realm, when the marginalized and oppressed will be raised up, and know that they are indeed beloved children of the holy. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love answer. Jesus, you took the time to pray and be silent. Be our vision, that through our prayers, meditation, and reflection, we may draw closer to you and find our way on this journey of faith. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love answer. Lord, you entered Jerusalem with peace in your heart. Be our vision, that we too can live as people of peace in the face of the world's many conflicts. May we hold your vision of justice and peace ever before us. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love answer. Bless us, O Blessed One, as we enter into these days ahead. We need your power and your presence to sustain us as we move through these difficult days together. Spirit of love and life, stay close. These and all the prayers that are in our hearts, we offer in faith. Amen.
Make up for my fall. Yes, worthy is the Lamb.
For our scripture reading today, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Good morning. As I've mentioned before, if I go too fast, please raise your hand. I know that understanding me can be difficult for some people. And if I slow down, that should help you. Over the Lenten season, we have been using the conference theme of "Restore Us, O God." Each week we have used a different verb. Either we hunger, we wonder, we thirst, we see. This week, we hope. Hope is good. It drives us forward. In the movie Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, the rebellion was faced with a huge problem. They had just found out about the Death Star, and that it was nearing completion. This battle station, capable of destroying a planet, meant their impending doom. Many rebel leaders were ready to give up and live under imperial domination because they didn't see any other option. Jyn Erso, the main character of the story and an outsider, spoke up saying, "We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope." Now, it might seem really nerdy and a little weird to start a sermon off with a scene from a Star Wars movie, but it is more relevant today to today's passage than merely the use of the word hope. See, when Jesus was going from village to village, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven was here, he was acting like every other religious zealot, gathering the masses to his side, promising them that the long-anticipated day of reckoning, the day when their foreign oppressors would be driven out, was coming. Jesus was starting a rebellion. Among his followers were violent revolutionaries. The obvious one is Simon the Zealot. But some scholars think that Judas Iscariot's name refers to the Sicarii, a league of assassins, who intended to drive the Romans out. Other scholars think that James and John were named Sons of Thunder, not merely because of their attitude, but also because it referenced another revolutionary group. That one may or may not be true, but these people followed Jesus because they expected him to lead them into battle. While the Rebel Alliance was fighting the Galactic Empire in order to restore the Old Republic as a beacon of liberty and democracy, Jesus' followers thought that Jesus was going to fight the Roman Empire to restore the Kingdom of Israel to its former glory. I used to work as a cleaner at CMU, and I had a lot of time by myself when I would listen to audiobooks. Being the cheap Mennonite that I am, I would find public domain audiobooks, which meant 100-year-old books. One that I listened to was Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. If you haven't read the book, there's also a movie that came out last year, and there's a classic with Charlton Heston with a really cool chariot race. In the story, Judah Ben-Hur is a Jewish nobleman who is falsely accused of attempting to assassinate the Roman governor. He is sold into slavery, and on his way to the coast, to become a galley slave on a ship, is offered a cup of water by a carpenter. This young carpenter gives him hope and the strength to carry on. Years later, he has earned his freedom, regained his wealth, and returns to Jerusalem to bring back his family's honor. Along the way, he meets this young carpenter again, but he is now a rabbi named Jesus. And he becomes one of his followers. He witnesses Jesus' miracles and believes that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah who will free them. Using his wealth, Judah Ben-Hur funds the raising of a secret army ready to help Jesus when it's time to overthrow the Romans. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Ben-Hur thinks that the time has come and sneaks his army into the crowd, ready to strike on Jesus' command. Much to Ben-Hur's consternation, Jesus instead spends the week teaching in the synagogue, and he thinks that Jesus failed him. Ben-Hur witnesses Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and is able to give Jesus a drink, vinegar on a sponge, returning Jesus' favor all those years before. It is at this point of Jesus' death on the cross that Ben-Hur commits his life to Christ, realizing that Jesus was not an earthly king, but a heavenly king and the savior of the world. Clearly there wasn't some secret army waiting in the wings for Jesus' command. But the fact remains that there was a large crowd waiting, begging someone they thought was God's anointed one to Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna means save us. Whether it is an exclamation of praise, there's an underpinning, its underpinning is a cry for help. They were praising Jesus because they expected him to save them. They expected him to call them to arms. The Jews under Roman occupation, who face a heavy burden, who live in darkness, have seen a great light. They have caught a glimpse of hope. They expected Jesus to call them to battle. Passover and other pilgrimage festivals were hotbeds of anti-Roman sentiment. The Jews resented Roman occupation, and Messiah figures took advantage of the crowds to incite violence. This violence was always met with overwhelming thirst and always ended in failure. The hope for the crowd was that Jesus would succeed where others failed. And Jesus did succeed, but not the way that they thought. Jerusalem had a garrison of Roman soldiers stationed at it, which was reinforced for the major pilgrimage holidays. These reinforcements, marching in full imperial trappings, came from the rest about a week before the festival proper to prevent uprisings. A week before the Passover, perhaps even the same day, Jesus comes from the east and is being treated as royalty. But the entire time of his triumphal entry, he is challenging the assumption of being a military messiah by drawing on powerful symbols. In a world of violent revolutionaries, Jesus' actions prove that his kingdom is a kingdom of peace. While the Roman general would have come in on a war horse, betraying might, Jesus rode in on a donkey, a symbol of peace. The prophet Zechariah, who spoke of a king of peace, lowly and riding on a donkey. The Matthew passage is actually kind of funny because they use the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew. And the Septuagint makes it sound like he's riding in on two donkeys. And so Matthew makes him riding on two donkeys, but that's not actually physically possible. So it's a translation error which resulted in a funny picture. Justin Martyr also connected Jesus' use of a foal to Genesis 49. When Jacob blesses Judah, saying that a ruler would come from Judah who would bring peace and tie his donkey's colt to the choice vine. The crowd laying their coats on the ground is symbolic of when Jehu was proclaimed king in 2 Kings, and his followers put their coats on the scales to the temple. Though this seems like a tripping hazard, because coats on scales just sounds like a bad idea. The palm branches are important for both Hebrew and Roman symbology. 200 years earlier, palm branches were part of the victory celebration of the Maccabean revolt. The Maccabee brothers had led a revolt against Greek oppressors. Jews in Jesus' time saw themselves in the same situation as their forebears. And they thought that if they could do it once, they could do it again. All they needed is a leader. Palm branches were also important to Roman mythology. They were the symbol of the goddess Nike, or Victoria. So when the Romans see people waving palm branches, they see it as Jesus claiming victory. However, while Jesus is enthusiastically greeted on Sunday, while they are calling him Son of God and the one who comes in the name of the Lord, we as readers recognize the truth to these statements more than the crowd saying them does. When asked who this Jesus is, they say that he is Jesus the prophet. The crowd didn't realize Jesus' true divine significance. He's merely a prophet standing up against injustice, not the victorious King of Peace, the Son of God that he truly is. The irony continues in the crowd's fickleness. By Wednesday, Judas has agreed to betray Jesus. Thursday, Jesus is arrested, and by Friday, the crowds that cheered his triumphal entry are calling for his execution. Palm Sunday is not simply a joyous festival, but a symbol of the blindness and fickleness of human loyalties. It is a pageant of royalty and death. The one called king is also crucified. Jesus is only vindicated on Resurrection Sunday. In light of the resurrection, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem does provide hope for the hopeless. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. No earthly country is truly a Christian nation, but wherever we find ourselves, we commit ourselves to following our true King, Jesus Christ. It is our loyalty to the kingdom of God that causes us to welcome refugees, to put together relief kits for the Mennonite Central Committee. It is the reason why Michael Sharp dedicated his life as a peace worker with Mennonite Central Committee in the United Nations. He would walk unarmed into rebel camps to drink tea and share stories. In 2013, he said, "If Jesus' example is for everyone everywhere, what does it look like in Eastern Congo, where war has been the norm for 20 years?" The 34-year-old from Kansas worked with a program that convinced 1,600 Rwandan rebels to fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo to stop fighting. In doing so, they gave hope to future generations. The children of these men now have the opportunity to go to school rather than living in the jungle and being illiterate. 2 years ago, two weeks ago, Michael was kidnapped and killed while investigating human rights abuses. He gave his life following Jesus. Jesus walked into Jerusalem, a city under enemy occupation, in the name of peace. As we take the final steps in our Lenten journey, as we approach the cross, we follow the King of Peace. Most of us will not lose our lives trying to reach rebels in the jungle, though that is a possibility. We are called, however, to live our lives following Jesus' example. We are called to bring hope to those around us. On Monday, I shared the story of Palm Sunday with the kids' club. And we talked about how Jesus is the King of Peace, and Jesus' kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but is in our hearts. Every week, we pray the Lord's Prayer at the end, which includes the passage, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." When I asked the kids what that meant, one of them said that it means loving God and loving neighbors, which is pretty smart for a 10-year-old. So as I conclude with today's sermon, would you please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now, if you would turn in the back of your hymnals, there should be a sheet of paper with our Lenten song, You Are All We Have.
Sing it through two times, please.
You are all we have. You give us what we need. Our lives are in your hands, O Lord. Our lives are in your hands. You are all we have. You give.
And just before the benediction, I'd just like to thank, firstly, the Blazer Corps for being here and making our worship service special, but also to Carol and Trudy and all the rest of the choir for all the hard work that they put into making our worship service more meaningful and spiritual. So now if you would please rise for the benediction and then stay standing for the closing song. As we leave this place of worship, may we live in hopeful attention to the one who comes to deliver us. Live in hope, live in love. And now may God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine on you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.
Number 238 in the hymnal, number 238.